Whoa, look, everybody's on screen at the same time at the start.
Ah,
all right.
That's not how this show works.
Well, it is today. Hello, everybody. This is The Real Boys. My name is Dylan. We have Michael of various podcasts. Michael, which podcast do you want to promote today?
The new episode of I Love This Terrible Game, which we just retooled the whole thing. It's a whole different thing. With cool. New co-hosts and everything, and it was very much fun. So that's the one I'm going to promote today.
All right. We've got Dan Lively of Oops Caught Me Smoking. Dan, how are you today?
Oh, yeah, I was terrific until I turned this pile of crap on.
Yeah. All right. Strong start. And we have Jerry and Blaze from the Cloud Chronicles. Jerry, what's up?
What is going on, guys? I am here. Hey, yes. I'm just here so I get mine.
It's like Tulsa Gabbard. We're all voting present. All right, we're doing a little bit of a casual Friday this week again because the movie this week was The Punisher, 1989, with Dolph Lundgren. If you know The Punisher, it's what you expect. If you don't know The Punisher, it's about an ex-cop whose family was murdered by gangsters, so he kills everybody who's ever committed a crime. Is that about it? Does that cover it?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Cool.
Oh,
that's supposed to scroll across the bottom of the screen. Anyway,
I am not a fan of the Punisher as a character or as really a concept. I've never seen him I've never seen anything that I like comics, movies, TV, nothing. This is just a miserable character. I mean, although this is the most handsome version of him, otherwise there is nothing to this character.
If you closed your eyes and you just listened, you would swear that he was Sly Stallone.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there.
He does have that sound to him.
Yeah, well, that is a European guy trying to do an American accent. They all sound like this. And this movie starts out with a little soliloquy from him that I didn't remember, but is the intro to a Biohazard song. And I was like, fucking rock on. And then after that, the movie just went downhill.
When it comes to the Punisher, I liked the portrayal in Daredevil season 2. Part of that was how he played off Matt Murdock and how they have the opposite ends of vigilante justice versus adhering to the law when you have to. But this version and pretty much every version before that, I think, is just, isn't it cool committing extrajudicious murders?
That is exactly what this character is. Isn't it cool to just blow everybody away? It's not cool.
Is anyone here familiar with the Punisher in comics on a larger than just familiar level?
No.
Cool. No. We have no comic book nerds here tonight. Perfect.
No,
we're going to completely misunderstand the nuance of this character.
I am definitely a comic book nerd, but I tend more towards space comics.
Yeah.
So these Spider-Man and Daredevils and Punishers where they're in the cities, I mostly stay away from.
Bigger fan of Battlefield Earth.
Is that a comic book? No, I'm a big fan of the Silver Surfer and the Green Lantern and the outer space stuff. And Punisher never goes to outer space, so why would I have any use for him?
I'm sure there are some comics that examine the philosophy of the character beyond a surface level cool vigilante stuff, but we're not going to have any of that tonight. And we don't have any of that in this movie.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even if there is more nuance to the character, there's none of it in this movie.
Yeah.
This is just a look at how cool it is to shoot everybody and, property damage and murder, and that's his whole thing.
So, did anyone have any scenes that they we're not going to go through this movie linearly because
no.
There's not much to it. We see the Punisher. We see that a gangster crime boss is getting out of prison, scot-free. He's afraid of the Punisher, but not worried. Oh, no, he's not afraid of it. Punisher kills some people. He has a buddy who's a theater nerd and rhymes everything. The crime boss's children get kidnapped. the Punisher saves them. He fights the crime people, and the movie is kind of over.
That's this movie in a nutshell. It's just a terrible movie. I know it was back in 1989, but I've seen movies that were made back in 1989 that I actually enjoyed.
Yeah,
this is not one of them.
You know what came out in 1989? That first Michael Keaton Batman. Like, that's a good superhero movie that came out this same year.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what are we doing with this? Why are we doing this?
Because it was the late 80s.
Did it even relate to like the Marvel character like at all? Or was it just some biker dude running around blowing shit up and not really saving people, he's just killing people that are doing wrong.
Yeah, he saves those kids, which I don't think is really in his character. Maybe it is because his kid got killed, so he's, trying to save whatever, but I mean, the stuff that he's doing in this movie is just so stupid. Like riding his motorcycle through the sewers.
Spends a lot of time riding his bike in the sewers.
And it's pointless.
Like, where are you going? Is he going home? Does he have like some kind of secret lair down there?
Yeah, that's where he meditates.
Yeah.
That's
where he lives. Okay.
Yeah, I do. I think that's where he lives because he doesn't have an apartment or anything. He's just like a Ninja Turtle. He lives in the sewer.
He's dead, so he lives in the sewer.
Yeah, well, it's just...
He's kind of like a Ninja Turtle because he's a spinoff of Marvel. Ninja Turtle started as a Daredevil parody, so you've got a little bit of a connection there with that, but not nearly as cool.
If you're really reaching, you got a parallel there.
But, I mean, this movie is full of, like, campy action. The scene in the funhouse has bad guys coming down the slides firing guns at him.
Yeah.
Any particular action pieces stand out to you guys? Like, there's that one. There's a Hall of Mirrors very early on, which I get that out of the way at the start of the movie.
Yeah, why would you have that many mirrors in your house? That would just be confusing at some point. You're just like, okay, where the hell am I? Because you're just going to get lost in your room.
Oh, sorry.
Like one drunken night and you're in a different realm. You're just like, holy fuck.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are some scenes that stick out for how stupid they are. Like at one point, Punisher drops down from the ceiling into this like casino. And I think he kills one guy in that casino, but he just is shooting bombs and a million bullets. And this scene goes on for like 3 minutes and it's just him shooting up slot machines. And it's so fucking stupid.
There's a style of 80s action movie where they just have a lot of scenery destruction. They have a lot of destruction of the sets. Yeah. And yeah, that casino scene definitely stood out as that.
Yeah, just like, let's trash a bunch of slot machines and go.
Do any of you guys remember Stallone's movie in the 80s, Cobra?
Hell yes, Cobra rules.
Cobra. Didn't this kind of seem like it kind of bit off that? I can't remember which one was first, but like, you know what I mean? Like there, it almost seemed like, because the movie Cobra would have been a better version of The Punisher.
Yeah, like if they would have called Cobra Punisher and put Stallone in, a skull t-shirt, it would have been way better than this. Like in Cobra,
black riding bike, all that.
Yeah, right. In Cobra, he kills one guy the guy's standing in front of a car and he smashes him in between the cars. And that thing haunted me as a kid. I was like, "Ooh!" But then when I saw it later, and as an adult, who is desensitized to violence in movies, I was like, "That shit is awesome!" Like Cobra's cool, and it came out at the same time. Like you said, Batman came out at the same time as this, so there's a good superhero movie. RoboCop came out at the same time as this. So there's all sorts of great action and comic book movies that are coming out within, a year of this coming out. So why this is so bad, I just don't understand.
all the early Marvel movies, in the, especially the 80s ones, are garbage. Have you seen like the Spider-Man and the Captain America? And,
the Fantastic Four with Roger Corman?
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're all really, really, really bad like this. So it kind of falls suit with how Marvel was back then. So them making this huge comeback now is kind of them paying their dues because they put out some trash early on.
Yeah. But that, you know, that Corman, like the Corman Fantastic Four is at least fun. There's fun stuff in there. There's no fun in this. It's taking itself so goddamn seriously for being as bad as it is. Like, if there was a little bit of camp in there, it probably would have been a way better movie. But as it is, it's just grit and bad acting. I don't know how Louis Gossett Jr. got scammed into being in this movie. He's the only one in the movie who is even getting close to acting.
Mm-hmm.
He was hot back then too, bro.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He was I mean, between how good looking Louis Gossett Jr. is and how hot Dolph Lundgren is, like he keeps taking off his shirt. The Yakuza leader lady is, you know, something to look at. There's at least stuff, you know, to hold your attention, but everything that's happening in the movie, I don't want to pay attention to. It's just,
I think the best part of this movie is when they were getting stretched, but they, even towards the end of that scene, it was like, okay, now you can actually tell that there was nothing going on. Cause when they were stretching the scientist, the chains weren't moving. And he was just going,
But that is the scene where you get after he frees himself by just unscrewing the shackles, which very bad decision on whoever made that torture device. But that is the scene where you get him with no shirt on, like leaning to the side and shooting the guy. And it's like, hey, hey, look at me.
Oh, you're running into this problem with the Punisher.
Oh, go ahead, Dylan.
No, you're good. I'm just saying you run into this problem with the Punisher where if you don't include other superheroes, it's just a criminal. It's just a gangster movie. There's nothing special about the Punisher except for his relation to other superheroes in the setting. Because then you get those conversations on vigilante stuff and his ability to fight superheroes. But when it's just Frank going up against the Yakuza, it might as well just be a cop left for dead. They said he was dead, and now he's free to act without remorse or something like that.
Yes.
It's not a superhero movie. It's just a cop movie, and it's not a good one.
Yeah, it may as well be without remorse. Mm-hmm. No, not without remorse. What was that other shitty one we did?
Remorseless? No.
The Michael B. Jordan movie? Because that was without remorse. We had another shitty movie.
Yeah, that's not what I was thinking of. I was thinking of that other one that we got off the reel from the same person who I think should be banned from adding stuff to the reel. But
the same person with the same movie?
The Night Comes For
Us? Night Comes For Us.
At least that one had like over the top gore and action. This really wasn't fun to look at.
It had a car explosion that was kind of cool. That was it.
Yeah. There was one scene where I was like, okay, that's a clever filmmaking thing. And it's towards the end when he turns the lights off and all the muzzle flashes happen, then he's gone. I'm like, that's at least a film style.
Yeah.
That's at least something stylistic.
And that's something that you would have seen in a Batman movie. Like, that's a Batman move. That's not a Punisher move. The Punisher's not stealthy. The Punisher goes in with guns blazing. Like, he's not Daredevil. Everything. He's not Batman.
Yep.
But
the Netflix version is phenomenal. I don't know if any of you guys have watched it, but I am a huge fan of it. It's really good.
Oh, the series? Yeah, the series is pretty good.
Yeah.
Those Netflix Marvel things are generally really good. Generally good.
Definitely
the best ones they did, though.
Yeah, the Daredevil and the Luke Cage ones were very good.
Yeah.
But I can't stand looking at Jon Bernthal's face. So I've never watched that Punisher series.
Yeah, it's not bad. I liked it. I like the series. It's way better than this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, anything's better than this movie. Like, I rated Army of the Dead 2 reels, and while I was watching The Punisher, I was praying to be watching Army of the Dead. I was like, I can't believe how bad this movie is, because I remembered it when I was a kid, you know, because I did want to see superhero movies, especially after I saw Batman. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, Masters of the Universe was my jam. Like, I loved all the He-Man stuff. And they made that He-Man movie, and Dolph Lundgren is He-Man in that. Mm-hmm. And it is so fucking bad that for 5 years after that, anything that had Dolph Lundgren in, I was like, this is going to fucking suck.
So with Dolph Lundgren in it, besides Rocky IV.
Well, Dolph Lundgren is actually, like, he's pretty good. And especially in the, like, what are these Stallone movies? The
Expendables?
Yeah, the Expendables movies.
In those movies too, man. I liked him in those.
Yeah, he's really good in those. So, like, mm-hmm. he's in good stuff. But I was like, all right, well, maybe I just had an aversion to Dolph Lundgren. Maybe when I watch this movie again, it'll be better. It was worse. It was worse now than when I hated it when I was a kid, which I didn't think was possible.
Dolph Lundgren was in a movie called In the Name of the King 2, Two Worlds, where he plays a former special forces soldier who gets sent to like a D&D style fantasy world and has to fight his way out of that. That one's actually,
I know what you're talking about.
That movie's trash, but it's actually pretty fun. And Dolph Lundgren provides a lot of the fun in that. Because he looks clueless, but he's using the sword to like kill all these orcs. And I'm like, all right, this is all I needed. This is all I kind of needed from
him. Why do I know In the Name of the King? What who was in the first one?
The first one was Jason Statham.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Now I know where
and
I
am. Lily Sobieski and John Rhys Davis and Ron Perlman.
Yeah, that's a bad movie, but it is fun.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's bad, but it's fun. And I don't mind a bad fun movie. The Punisher is no fun.
There were times. I
don't
want to
hear anything about on Monday. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear anything Monday about Dumb and Dumber at all. I'm jumping through screens and slapping the shit out of people if I hear anything.
I'm going to try to watch that movie as a 14-year-old, but I can't make any promises.
Yeah, I'm also in the 14, 15-year-old headspace to watch Dumb and Dumber, because that is the last time I saw it.
If you smoke, get really stoned before you watch it. Okay. It'll help.
Cool.
I don't. Look, I will fall asleep. I will Chris Harvey my way through that entire movie if I try that. So we're technically supposed to be talking about The Punisher.
We are supposed to be talking about The Punisher.
Yeah, this movie is so bad that we're talking about other bad movies instead of this terrible movie.
Yeah, like what bad movies we would rather be watching than this bad movie.
You know,
like Daredevil. I would rather watch the Affleck Daredevil. Ooh.
I was actually thinking about the Affleck Daredevil as I was watching this, going, maybe Marvel, Daredevil's better.
I mean, what would you say the first good Marvel movie is? X-Men? I mean, good as in watchable, not like spectacular.
Yeah,
but
probably
watchable.
That first one.
That first X-Men. Yeah, the first X-Men movie is amazing.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, obviously.
The Sam Raimi Spider-Mans.
Spider-Man.
I do remember something I wanted to say about this movie that was positive. Besides shirtless Dolph Lundgren, I did appreciate how it wasn't a superhero origin story, because back in the day, that was what you got. You got a Spider-Man movie, you got a Batman movie, you got a Punisher movie. You were going to spend time with the character doing their day job for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, you would see them go home to their family. You would see that scene like in No Remorse where, you know, their family got killed. You would see them dealing with it. But in this happened 5 years ago. Frank Castle's already hardened. He's already, you know, killed hundreds of people. Or what did they say? 95 people, 125 people. They did say a number, but I don't remember it. It was a lot of people. So
abundance of people.
Yeah. So all we get, we don't get, you know, Bruce Wayne walking with his parents away from the movie theater that's playing Zorro. We don't see the pearls drop. We do see a flashback, but it's like 30 seconds of his wife.
And it's during the opening credits, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's these opening credits are also hilarious because
I like this style of credits, man. I don't know.
This was the credits was the most fun that I had in the movie because it's like this gritty, like back alley. And we're going through it, and then it's popping up like it's like one of those old NES light gun games where like the bad guy pops up and it's just a static picture of him like,
It had one credit that you stuck out.
He's like, these movies.
Hurricane.
Whoa.
What the hell was that?
We're being punished.
Oh, no.
Dolph Lundgren. Damn it. I'm sorry, Dolph.
Oh, Jerry and Dolph Lundgren came and got you. Oh, sorry. Man. Oh, no. He's moving again.
He's good. No, he's good. I think we can hear him. No, we can't.
No, I was just being
quiet. Oh, there you go.
Quiet.
Oh, we had a blowout.
I was waiting for Dylan to go. But I think he
Then where did that explosion sound come from?
Someone's hacking the stream.
Oh, somebody who likes the Punisher.
Yeah, right.
Right.
No, I think it's interesting, Michael, you bring up the fact that this doesn't have an origin story, because we've been getting origin stories up since 2019 with Captain Marvel. Like, it never stopped.
And that's also true.
I mean, we're going to be getting more with X-Men and Fantastic Four. And
I don't know what that was. But you got to put yourself back in the mind space. These movies came out.
I think you're cutting in and out, Jerrion.
Yeah. I think I understood what he point that like.
Right.
But also the thing is that back in the day when these movies were coming out, the only people going to see these movies were the people who knew the comic books. These were not movies that were, you know, these were not these new Avengers movies where you're getting casual fans of just the movies. These were for hardcore comic book fans, because back in the early 90s, it wasn't a big thing for everybody to be comic book fans. So, you know, when you go to see these movies, you know,
I wasn't character. Even talking.
Then who the hell was talking?
We've got a ghost stream because the ghosts are angry.
This is, this is weird.
This is really weird.
If this is for hardcore comic fans, then why are there no other Marvel characters in here?
Or even a mention of anybody, of anything Marvel.
Yeah, well, I mean, that I can't answer you. I would assume that it was licensing stuff, because this movie can't have had a huge budget. This thing, the only thing they would have spent money on were these slot machines that they destroyed during this one season. Because, like, or season, during that one scene. Because otherwise, like, the gunshots looked bad. There was no like real blood spurting out, except for that one scene in like the last sort of big scene where they're busting in to save Tommy. He shoots the one guy at the end of the hall and it just explodes behind him all against that back wall. That was pretty cool. But otherwise, we are light on the special effects. It was all Dolph Lundgren's salary and his motorcycle that he rode around nowhere except the sewer.
It was like Dolph Lundgren reached in his pocket and like had his like spare change in his pocket and go, here, let's make a movie. And you're like, let's do it, dude. Let's do it. Get on that motorcycle over there. It's not even yours. Let's get on it.
Did anyone do any research into the like the production of this?
No.
No.
I didn't want to. After I watched it, I was like, I don't really want to think about this. I was like, I don't even know if I want to go on this episode and talk about this because then I would have to think about this movie more.
Me and Jerry literally had that discussion like 15 minutes before we got on it. Like, should we actually do this?
So, but at the same time, we all watched it, so we may as well talk about it.
Yeah. Right.
So this was originally slated for a U.S. release in 1989. Guess how long it was until it got a theatrical release? Guess what year it was?
1996.
I'm going to say 94.
Okay. Jerry, and a guess on the theatrical release for this in the U.S.?
It's like $1, Bob.
I think there's some, I think there's some lag.
Yeah.
I can almost guarantee that you are also too early. It was later than all three of your guesses.
What? Oh, wow. Wow, like 97. Don't say like 97, 98, because that's
I'm not going to say 97, 98, because it was after that.
2002.
What? It was after that.
What?
It finally premiered in 2008.
What? In I had Durham. Already graduated for like 6 years after. What the hell?
At the Escapism Film Festival. And 19. Then in 2009 at Dolph Lundgren's personal film festival.
So 19 years after it was made.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, there's definitely some lag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2007.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Here, let's release this 19-year-old movie. Why not?
Yeah. Well, I guess. I guess my question would be why?
Right.
Because by 2007, I mean, we already had those Thomas Jane Punisher movies Hollywood. That people seemed to at least be okay with. I think Warzone was out by that point.
I think those are pretty well regarded. Yeah.
Yeah, that Warzone. People keep telling... Yeah, people keep telling me, you know, you should watch that Warzone movie. I'm like, I don't think I want to see that because it's just Punisher. Like, I read some of the Warzone comics, and it's literally just Punisher mowing people down. There's no real... And I don't need to see that. Like, the video games I play, I don't even like to play games where I'm killing humans. I usually stick to, like, monsters and stuff just because it makes me feel bad to kill people even in video games. So I don't need to see, you know, just some guy mowing down hundreds of even see, if they're criminals.
Humans.
Yeah, I love playing games where I get to shoot other humans because it's amazing. GTA 5, it's I'm up there, I'm sniping people. I'm not even doing missions. I'm just sniping people from rooftops.
Yeah.
Bad day at work.
Yeah, I stick to zombies. Zombies are the cool Nazis. Nazis, I don't mind killing in video games, but like zombies and monsters, that's what I'm aiming for.
I watched this the same day that I watched Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, and they have a very similar attitude towards the mooks, the goons, the bad guys, as this movie. There's a scene where Jason Statham has to fight his way through a hallway of people towards a face recognition, like Keylock, like a Regi Retina or something. And he dispatches everybody, and then he like picks someone up by the scruff of their collar, unconscious, and pushes them against the scanner. Doesn't work. And then he drops him, picks up another guy, pushes him against the scanner. Doesn't work. And it goes through everybody in the room, and then it shows a wide shot, and he is standing there with a pile of knocked out people next to him, and he's just making faces at The Rock. And I'm like, yeah, none of those people probably had families or anything. It was a very interesting difference between these two movies, because Hobbs and Shaw is not good, but I had a pretty fun viewing experience. Like, it's stupid. And on occasion, you're like, this is kind of dumb, and then it wins you back.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a bad thing. It's just I didn't go into it expecting like high cinema.
I've never seen a single Fast and the Furious movie, but like that Hobbs and Shaw, it's Rock, Idris Elba, and Jason Statham. I'm like, how could this possibly be bad?
It's not terrible, but it's just another Fast and Furious movie. It's all it is.
Yeah.
It's the same layout, and let's be honest, the Fast and Furious movies are getting really, really old.
So Fast and Furious has become a superhero franchise in which the superpowers are their cars. And in this one, Idris Elba has a drone motorcycle.
Yeah.
Like it rides up beside him and then it gets on and it drives off without him doing anything. And I'm like, you guys are really leaning into this and I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah. All I saw of it was like Idris Elba putting on like a mech suit almost. He, to give himself superpowers.
He's cybernetically enhanced. It goes full sci-fi.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't hate that.
Yeah.
I would like to see...
It's not a bad...
No, go for it, Jarian.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's get your review of Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah. All I was saying... It's not too bad.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It must be storming in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, we heard.
We can hear you. Yeah.
Succinct. No, it's
that's my favorite thing about the way that Jarian talks about movies. Like, it was good. I liked it.
It's not too bad. Like three times. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
We did hear it once. We heard you say it wasn't bad once.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fuck me then. I don't respond.
But anyways, back to the Punisher. Should we go back to the Punisher?
I guess. Like, do we have more to talk about with this movie? Do we want to?
I mean, or, you know, for what it was, like you said, it's Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Right. And same exact layout for it. But for in the Punisher, like the part where the guy puts his mouth and has to kill himself, that was kind of cool. I was like, is he gonna do it? Do it, you pussy, do it.
And he did. Yeah, you knew he.
The lag
knew
is bad, wasn't. Man. I feel like we're gaming right now.
Aww. You're popping in and out.
Yeah, it's weird because usually when Jarian's Wi-Fi is off. He just disappears, but today it's just like
it's holding on by the skin of its teeth.
Yeah, I did like I noticed that lady, like the lady henchman for the Yakuza leader. She like whooped Punisher's ass the first time they met, and then she was sort of ineffective in that second fight scene where you would think she would be. More at home, like this is her territory. She knows where she is. And then the big bad.
I'm just being quiet when y'all are talking.
And then the big bad just gets dispatched by one knife to her forehead. From it's so weird how. They have the upper hand everywhere except for sort of their home base. It felt like they were filming this movie and then said, all right, we got to be done with this movie. Let's kill these bad guys and get the good guys home and safe.
Like, what's up with the paper walls? Does anybody know what's up with the paper walls? Because I see a lot of that in like Asian movies.
Yeah, that's a Japanese thing.
Is that like real?
Yeah.
I've never been there, so. Does it like help? Like, I don't know. Like, what? How? What do you do when it rains?
I think, well.
Like, it's wallpaper?
Just the inside. It's just the inside
walls. Oh.
But I think it's more, it's just a privacy.
Yeah.
Like, vision thing.
It's a light divider. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's like if you've ever been to church and you have the sliding walls that you have to pull out for the potluck. Like, yeah, they're kind of like that, but they tend to be like just cloth or sheets on like a lattice frame, and then you could just move them by hand.
Oh, okay.
And you you see it a lot in movies because it's easy, you know, to see somebody's silhouette and yep. stab them through it.
Right.
I think if ever there was a more appropriate use for the phrase, it's a cinematic tool.
Yeah.
It absolutely is in this, because it's like the scene, the only shot I liked with the muzzle flashes in the darkness is followed up by the Punisher coming through the wall and killing those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And he comes through the wall to throw the knife into the head of the main bad guy, and he does stab a guy through that wall. So it's definitely used effectively in this.
Right.
I have a feeling that unlike in the movies, it's not every house in Japan that has those walls.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's so easy to use as a movie device that they right. probably, you know, these Americans are probably 99% of them are never going to go to Japan. So
no, probably
we'll
not.
Just say that every house has these walls that you could stab people through.
In some movies, they're on the outside too. That's why I was like confused. I'm like, okay, now why are they on the outside?
Yeah. In Ghost of Tsushima, it's, they have those too, which that's absolutely just for being able to stealth kill people.
Nice. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so then we have this big fight scene between the Punisher and the guy whose kid that Punisher just saved. All of a sudden, you know, they're reluctantly working together, and then they're pals who are saving each other, and then they actually save the kid, and now we're, you know, fighting to the death again. I don't know exactly where the Punisher shoots this guy through his bulletproof vest to actually kill him, but he kills him right in front of his son. Like,
in his armpit, right in here.
Yeah. And would that have killed him instantly like that?
It'd probably go through your heart, I guess. I mean, I would think.
I would think it would just like go through your... I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
The shock would probably knock you down at least.
Yeah. And then
he got up though. He shot him and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. Nothing in this movie made any sense. You know, Ninja Turtles came out at about the same time as this too.
That was a cool movie,
that was based in the sewers.
Yep.
What do we do in Punisher? Who's making this movie?
Yeah, who did make this movie? Does anybody know who directed, created, written? I don't know.
Marvel Studios.
I don't think it's anybody big. It's Mark Goldblatt. I mean, he's still making movies. He did the Death Wish remake with Eli Roth.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
He helped put together X-Men The Last Stand. He's been doing superhero stuff. Okay. Oh God, he did the Wolfman movie with Benicio del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
He did Starship Troopers.
Oh,
hey, I like that.
Oh wow, okay. That's cool. Yeah,
he didn't do Starship Troopers. He contributed to it in some way. I'm just reading off of Wikipedia.
Second unit director.
He was the editor.
Oh, okay.
The editor.
He does a lot of editing. It doesn't look like he's directed much after maybe this. He's been like a second unit director on RoboCop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he works with Verhoeven a lot.
He does collaborate with Verhoeven a lot.
Okay, that's all right. I don't hate that.
Oh, man. Wow, he's... It's a bunch of... His filmography is effectively a list of movies that could have been really, really good but weren't for whatever reason. Chappie
could have been good.
Chappie could have been great. I liked Rise of the Planet of the Apes. He was in that.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
He did Armageddon, The Rock. He does a lot of Michael Bay stuff as well. Jerry Bruckheimer. Yeah, he's got a pretty good filmography.
Okay.
The Punisher was not one of his early works, though.
No?
No, he's been making movies since 76.
Did he edit this Punisher movie? Because that could have.
No.
Okay. No. All right. Well, then apparently he's a better editor than he is a director, because this movie could have used another pass through editing.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Even though it was only an hour and 29 minutes, it felt long, which is 100% the editor's fault. when a short movie feels long, that's bad editing. Yeah, so I mean, what are we going to talk about? He saves a busload of kids.
Yep.
He
gets his ass kicked, shoots a guy. Game over.
I've got a hypothetical question if we want to go a little further.
Yep.
Yeah, let's stretch this bitch out.
Yeah, we got a little bit of time.
1989, it's made in 1989. At that time, which Marvel character cameo would have made this movie better?
Ooh.
1989, so think about that. Michael, any ideas? Who would you have liked to see in this as a cameo that would have made it feel more superhero-y?
I don't think I would like to see a superhero as much as I think a good Kingpin.
Okay. Yeah, like, expand the Marvel characters.
Yeah, like, let's... If we were fighting instead of some no-name gangster nobody, if we had, like, if it was, like, Jigsaw. Like, an actual Punisher villain. Not Jigsaw from the Saw movies. The Punisher villain Jigsaw. Or a Kingpin, or somebody that the Punisher would have actually fought. That may have been more interesting. You know, flesh out your villain to make your hero seem more heroic. Or throw a Daredevil in there.
Throw a Daredevil in there. Yeah.
Or an Elektra.
Right,
Michael Ironside probably would have been a really good 89
Kingpin. Oh, Michael Ironside would have been a great Kingpin.
About the time of, like, Scanners?
Yeah, the only good part, the only, like, good part of that Daredevil movie was, why can't I think of his name? Who is the Kingpin?
No.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah.
Michael Clark Duncan as the Kingpin was the best possible choice for that character at that time. And it is too bad that Michael Clark Duncan died, because he made anything that he was in watchable. Like, even a crap show like Daredevil was watchable, because you knew that just around the corner you were going to get some cool shit done by the Kingpin.
Right.
Dan.
But yeah, Michael Ironsides would have been great as the Kingpin. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan, any Marvel characters you would like to see in this movie that would make it better?
Better? I don't know about better. It would have gave me a reason to watch it to the end, maybe. But like Michael said, maybe a villain. Like a 30-second clip for, like, a villain coming out, exposing himself or something. I don't know about Daredevil or Elektra. I don't, like, any superhero, I don't know about it, but a villain would probably be the best bet.
Jerrion, you got any ideas on who could have made this movie better for you?
Nope. He's trying.
I'm sure we'll get his answer in about 15 seconds.
Oh, man.
I think that's too bad. Yeah, that's too bad.
That I think. Yeah, I hate that Jerrion's Wi-Fi is so bad, because he's like, he's always the funniest one.
Right. He's always got something funny to say, too.
But we only hear it about 60% of the time.
But I would have liked to even see, like, Hammerhead in this, where he, like, gets shot in the head or something. He just, like, rubs the spot. And he's like, all right. And then he gets killed by eating stabbed.
I gotta go with Michael and Dan, man. Kingpin and maybe Daredevil.
Yeah, it seems like, oh, Jerian's gone.
Yeah.
It seems like that sort of, like, the Punisher does need, like Dylan said, the Punisher does need someone to play off of, mm-hmm. whether it's a good villain, a good established villain, or another vigilante who has an opposite, you know, sort of take on vigilanteism, like a Spider-Man or a Daredevil. You know, we're stopping these criminals, but we're not killing them. Mm-hmm. And then he's on the side of, if we don't kill them, they're going to keep being criminals. And you can sort of see both sides, but at the same time, in America, sort of right now, it's dangerous because people do think that they can take their guns and use them against people who they think are bad. And that's just more crime. Like, mm-hmm. now yeah. we're just killing extra people.
It's like lying on a lie. You're lying on a lie, pretty much.
Yeah. It's so the Punisher. And that's why, like, the people with the Punisher, like, logo with the blue stripe down the middle scare the shit out of me, because the Punisher is expressly in the comics anti-police. He does mm-hmm. not like the police. So tying the Punisher and fighting crime together is a dangerous way to do things.
I know Marvel Comics has actually addressed that in one of their Punisher series, where Punisher, like, explicitly speaks out against cops putting his sticker on their vehicles. So in this kind of, like, new modern era that Marvel is trying to update their comics into, they do address the extrajudicious style of the Punisher, but mm-hmm. he also is like, no, I'm not doing this for you guys. Like,
yeah. And in 1989, when this movie is getting made,
yes,
this is the heyday of Schwarzenegger and Stallone and Van Damme, you know, action movies where you are like Cobra. Stallone kills more people in Cobra, and like Schwarzenegger kills more people in Commando.
Mm-hmm.
I think Commando may be the movie where the most people die. He is just throwing grenades in that and blowing up 70 people at a time. So that is sort of when this sort of thing was going on. And I can appreciate a Stallone movie or a Schwarzenegger movie from this era, but there's something gross about the Punisher doing it. And also mm-hmm. the way that this movie is shot, you know, Cobra, Commando, those types of movies are sort of fun. There's no fun to be had in this thing. This is like a Grand Theft Auto. It's just taking itself very seriously. So the deaths don't feel fun. It's not like a Saints Row where you're killing people, but they're just flying all over the place. And it's like sort of cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to be a little bit too realistic and gritty. And it comes off as more gross than I think a superhero movie should be.
Mostly. There are scenes like the Funhouse where the bad guys are sliding in like rows and they're firing, and I'm like, this is like something you would expect in like a kid movie.
Yeah,
if it like wasn't for the deaths.
Yeah, like a like a Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. So, even like to circle back to your question, Dylan, like, even if they didn't like have a superhero, or maybe just like a spider web or something like on his bike that says like hi or something, you know, that would have been cool. That would have been a lot cooler. Like, okay, that's two reels right there, you know.
Mm-hmm. The Punisher premiered in a Spider-Man comic, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah,
yep,
yeah. So I mean,
as soon as you say Punisher, I can see the cover of his first episode. It's like a yellow cover, and it's just Spider-Man through like a sniper scope, and he's like falling, and then you see the Punisher standing there with his rifle. Tell me how close I am when you.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, but it's a very iconic thing, and the Punisher does need that. He needs somebody who's working against him,
right?
Because the Punisher is not a hero.
And he's just a dude.
He's like Batman with no money. He's like Batman who spends all of his money on guns rather than you know, things to, you know, wrap people up or, you know, cool cars and stuff.
Who are you? I'm Gunman. No. Okay.
There's a very good Punisher type character who's like, he's got literally a crate strapped to his back with just guns sticking out of it. And that's always it. Yeah. I would rather have that than this gritty ass, serious ass Punisher.
I will support any adaptation of the Tick that anybody wants to make. Amazon, I think, I know it was a prototype superhero series. Like they did it before they kind of got their feet under them, but I really enjoyed Amazon's Tick series.
Amazon's Tick was really good. The Arthur in that was fantastic.
Who was the Tick?
I know his voice from anywhere.
I want to say Peter Skarsgård, but that's wrong.
No.
Yeah.
He's a British actor who has a lot of cred, and he's very funny.
Yeah.
Peter Serafinowicz.
Peter Serafinowicz. Yes.
So it was a Peter.
It was a Peter. And Griffin Newman, who plays Arthur in that, is also very fun. Like, he's a very funny. He has a podcast called
Blank Check, I think it's called.
And it's very good. Not to plug somebody else's podcast, but those are very funny guys. And I also love
Friends of the Show Blank Check.
Yeah, Friends of the Show Blank Check.
When Griffin they have to Newman, say they're not now, so they have to acknowledge us either way.
When Griffin Newman comes on The Real Boys to talk about whatever movie.
Griffin Newman is going to voice Orko in the Masters of the Universe adaptation on Netflix.
Oh, the Kevin Smith one?
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's Griffin Newman.
Ish.
Orko? Yeah, he's voicing Orko. Yeah.
Cool.
So he gets to voice a CGI character.
Awesome. I like the Tick costume in that. I still have burned DVDs that were burned off of a VHS tape of the old Tick cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
With Warburton, right? Yep. Patrick Warburton?
No, not the live action series, the cartoon series.
Was Patrick Warburton in a live action Tick? Is that what I'm thinking of? Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Patrick Warburton was in that very weird Tick show where they never did any actual superheroing.
Yeah.
It was like Friends, but with superheroes.
Oh, the Fox one. Oh,
yeah.
One. I got my wires crossed on that. I thought it was the voice in the animated one.
No. That animated one is so close to the actual comics, except since it was a Fox Saturday morning kids cartoon, they couldn't, you know, have him escape from the mental asylum. You know, they didn't have him with his viewfinder. Like, some of that stuff was a little bit too weird for little kids. But other than that, they did a very good job with that cartoon. So that's the Punisher.
That's the Punisher and a whole bunch of other stuff we wanted to talk about.
We talk about the Tick for 15 minutes because the Punisher is a nothing movie where nothing happens.
The real wheel shoved some stuff onto our doorstep this week, didn't it?
Yeah. We should have did Airheads. Anyways, we should just cancel it. Like, close enough, the hair don't count.
We're not at the point yet where we can go against the wheel.
Yeah, we are beholden to the wheel. We cannot We can cannot... we
at least ban the person that keeps putting in his movies on here?
Well, we got two of his movies, so I think we have to stop using his movies until at least one other person has two that we've done.
We've got a little bit until the next Wheel episode anyway, so we can rest and recuperate.
Okay. Yeah, this was... And I went into this going, I sort of hope that I like this now, but it's really, like, it's worse than I remembered it being, which is weird because I remembered it being very bad.
Now it's very, very bad.
It's really, really bad.
So I'm gonna lead off. Jarian, who is currently absent, gave us before the show, said that this was going to get 5 reels. No explanation for that.
My favorite thing about Jarian, he's so positive that even the movies that he hates still get a 5. Like, his scale starts at 5. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that about him because he does like to, he likes to give everything a chance. And I appreciate that. I wish I could be like that, but I am definitely not.
Michael, how many reels are you giving this movie tonight? 2. And why? Okay.
The same amount of reels that I gave to Army of the Dead. Just because this movie should have been something. Because like I said, this is 1989. We're at the height of action movies. So this should have been a good action movie. We have good superhero movies starting to come out. So it could have been a good superhero movie. You know, Dolph Lundgren is a good action star, but all of his fight scenes are so stiffly choreographed that it all looks bad. Besides being able to look at a 1989 Dolph Lundgren, there's nothing that this movie offers anyone. Because there's all sorts of better movies that came out at the same time as this. So there's really no reason to be watching this. And that's why I gave it to. Even I would normally give a movie 2 reels just for only being 1.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Because at least we're not suffering through a long movie. But this movie felt like it was 2.5 hours long. I did have to take a break during this 1 hour and 29 minute movie.
So
2 reels, and I'm being generous with those reels.
Dan, how about yourself? What kind of reel rating are you giving The Punisher?
I was going to give it 0.5 reel, but I'll be nice and give it 1 reel. I'm going to give it 1 reel.
All right.
This will probably be the lowest reeling I'll ever do. Hopefully, I hope. Pray to God anyways. But... But yeah, everything about this movie was just terrible. The fight scenes were terrible. There was, like I said, there was one cool car explosion scene. And one of the opening scenes, he busts through, like he goes down and stabs a guy in the head, but there's no forward thrust. It's just down and the guy's and from that point on, I was like, okay, fuck this. Yeah. And then it was
the first kill of the movie.
Yeah, it was.
It was something like the first 3 minutes of the movie. I'm like, man, this is gonna be bad.
Yeah.
And you were right.
Yeah.
I'm saving my 1 reel review. And spoilers. Phil better knows what that one's for.
Right. I never thought I would give a 1, and I never think I would ever give a 10, but we'll see.
I am giving this a 3, slightly higher than Michael's. Not great. There were moments where I'm like, they put effort into this particular scene. I don't know. It wasn't complete trash. Like, if you have 90 minutes, go spend it doing something else. Make yourself a better person. Do some, I don't know, hug your loved ones for 90 minutes instead of watching.
Play solitaire or something.
If you are all alone and have just nobody or nothing, I guess you can watch The Punisher and it'll at least consume some of your existence.
Yeah. Do some yoga.
Do some yoga. Or find your center. Open a third eye or something.
There is a decent Punisher first person shooter game on the PlayStation 2. if you need some Punisher content, play the PlayStation 2 Punisher game. there you get to blow people's arms off and legs off, and it's way more cartoony and fun deaths than in any Punisher movie or TV show I've ever seen.
Right on. Yeah. Always recommending dismemberment. It's a good time.
Yeah. So I'm going to recommend if a movie is this low, I'm going to recommend something adjacent to it that's more fun.
I would rather watch Battlefield Earth than watch this movie. At least I have a good time mocking Battlefield Earth, but there is nothing to talk about on this one.
Yeah, I've never seen Battlefield Earth at all. I also, there are some actors that I will actively avoid their movies. And John, what the fuck is his name?
Travolta.
John Travolta is one of them. Like, unless he's directly next to Sam Jackson or Nick Cage, I want nothing to do with Travolta.
Yeah.
You didn't like Hairspray?
What's that?
You didn't like Hairspray?
No, I hate musicals as well.
Yeah.
Is that the second time you've brought up Hairspray in this show, Dan?
No, I think somebody else brought it up.
Somebody else brought it up last week. Yeah. Okay. Just checking.
I think that was our guest.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a musical guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, go watch Battlefield Earth at 1.25 speed, and it'll be 90 minutes, and it's just as good. I'm
Still
serious.
Loves to speed his movies up.
I have stuff to do.
It's like, I have shit to do, man.
I watched this movie in about 75 minutes flat. It was great.
Unlike Zach, who will watch a four-hour movie three times in a day.
Well, Zach has that, and I'm envious of his ability to work with something on in the background. I can't do stuff productive if I've got a movie going.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I'm envious of that man's ability to just, like, split.
Yeah, I was folding laundry while I was watching that, and I'm like, how is the laundry more interesting than this movie?
Yeah. All right, so I think that's our show tonight. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into The Real Boys as we just absolutely stagger our way through this nothing of a movie. Like, man, we worked at it, but hey, guys, we got over an hour, so we got
did it.
So, Michael, go ahead and pitch whatever you want to pitch right now. Ignore the banner.
Like I said, I Love This Terrible Game has some new co-hosts. We have some female voices on the show now, which I think is important because I think female opinions are underrepresented in video game podcasts. So we have some ladies on that show now. Jack Billings presents Me and My Neighbor Michael. Always a good time. Also a very diverse cast. And then No Time to Binge is so much fun. The episode we did on Wednesday for American Horror Story goes so far off the rails. Like, that thing went crazy.
Yeah.
And then I was I listened to that afterwards and I was laughing at the last thing that we did and I knew what was going to happen. So I would definitely recommend giving the American Horror Story No Time to Binge a listen. But that's all I have. Follow me on Twitter, my neighbor, MICH1.
And Dan, what have you got out there for people to consume?
You can catch me at Oops Caught Me Smoking. We go live every Saturday at 9 p.m. EST. And you can also catch me every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, also on Bet That with Dan and Jerian. Twitching. We're live on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube.
Yeah, that's right on. Mr. Jerry and Blaze unfortunately couldn't live out the show, but you can also find him at the Cloud Chronicles and Bet That with Dan and Jerian at the times that Dan said.
Bet That with Dan and Jerian is interesting, even if you don't like sports.
Hmm. All right. Cool.
Yeah, I had fun watching it, even though I had no idea what they were talking about. They both know what they're talking about and are interest and like are very engaging. So
yeah,
definitely recommend.
Thank you.
And of course I'm Dylan of Some Nobodies. You can find me everywhere at Vorpal Words, also on Silicon Angels, Create Your Own Pod Venture, Talking Upstream, Twitching Upstream, all of these shows. My buddy Zach couldn't be here tonight, but you know, it's how it works out sometimes. This is The Real Boys. We're here every Monday, and we do a casual Friday special edition also Friday, an hour later at 9 p.m. Eastern. Next week, we've got Jerrion's number 4 movie, Dumb and Dumber, which he'll be hosting. So we're going to be watching, we're going to be getting 14 again. And then a week from today, we are going to be talking about Luca, the new Disney Pixar movie that is going to be released on Disney Plus for no extra charge. They're not doing the $30 premiere nonsense for that. So you don't have to feel guilty about giving the mouse any money. I think that's all we've got this week. You guys want to add anything before we run that outro music?
I can't wait for Dumb and Dumber after this movie. I'm going to watch it like right now. I'm going to go watch it right now.
I'm sort of looking forward to Dumb and Dumber as well.
Yeah. I think of all of the movies we have on our list so far, this is probably the one that is most like easy watching. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Yes, this is a very easy watch.
Cool. Well, right on, everybody. Tune in next week. Go find our back catalog on every podcast platform and everybody here on their various shows. And we'll see you next time. Take it easy.